I'd like to begin reading in verse 13, Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. Paul writes and he says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight." We thank God for His word. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and following the theme that was the center of our worship, we need God's help as we look at His word this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the great opportunity to open the Scriptures and to hear You. And God, help us as Your people not to take that for granted. It's a precious gift. You've placed within us the Holy Spirit. You have given us Your word. And God, You have determined that by Your Spirit and through Your word that we will hear You and You will change us. Father, I pray that in Your mercy and grace, according to Your work in our lives today, that we would submit to You. And as we hear, as we listen, as we take in this Scripture today, use it, Father, to draw us near to You. Use it, Father, to help us to see our own lives and the world around us and to respond in a way that shows our great need for You and Your great provision for us. Thank You for our Savior. May our focus, even as Paul speaks in this passage, may it be Him. And we look forward to what You'll do this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My goal in this short series of sermons is to help us all understand the human race. To do that, we need to look at the world and we need to look at our individual lives with a mind that is transformed by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. In other words, we look at our own lives, we look at all the events of the world around us, and we need to filter our lives and we need to filter the events of the world around us through the Word of God. This is what we call a biblical worldview. And the biblical worldview is based on foundational truths from the Word of God. And folks, in the last several weeks, we've looked at several foundational truths that are related to the human race, the doctrine of man, the doctrine of humanity. And we've done that in the last few weeks. For example, we've looked at the truth that God is our creator. God created all men. God created all men in His image. And therefore, there is an equality in status for all humans. We share a unity in creation. God created us all, and He created us all in His image. We share that. We also found out in our study that God created all men for His purpose. And that purpose is the glory of God, and therefore we share a unity in purpose. So think about it, a unity in creation, a unity in purpose. God made us all to bring glory to Him. We also learned in our study that none of us, no human beings, bring glory to God. And all of us, every one of us, have an inherent depravity of heart, which we inherited from the first man, and it leads us to sin and to rebel against God. And this nature of sin manifests itself in acts of sin. And therefore, we can see from the Word of God that we are sinners by nature and we are sinners by action. And all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. So do you see that there is a unity in the human race, a unity in creation, a unity in purpose, and yes, even a unity in sin? And we also learn from our study that that sin has ruined our relationships with ourselves, with God, and with other people. And one of the manifestations of that sin against other people we call racism. We talked about this last week. And racism, folks, is nothing more than sinful pride. If you want to get to the very heart of this term that is thrown around so much today, you want to get to the very heart of it, then you think about what it really is. And racism is nothing more than sinful pride. And it shows itself in our individual lives, and it shows itself in our society. And God hates it. And this sin should not surprise us, because we all are sinners. And pride runs through our veins as human beings. And therefore, it should not surprise us. This morning, I'd like to look at another foundational truth, and it is not a new truth. It's an important truth. We've looked at it several times through the years, and we need reminders today. So here's a part of that foundational truth. Sin does not rule this world. Satan does not rule this world. Those are foundational truths that we must understand if we're to have a biblical worldview. Now, the world may look like it. The suffering and the sorrow and the chaos and the turmoil and the conflict and the destruction and the death all around us may cause us to think that Satan is in charge and that sin rules the universe, but brothers and sisters, it does not. The followers of Jesus Christ must put on the eyeglasses of a mind that is transformed by the Word of God. We must put on a biblical worldview that clearly proclaims and lives this truth, believes this truth, that God is sovereign over sin. God is sovereign over sin. And folks, that is vital to our understanding of the human race. God is sovereign over my sin and your sin and your neighbor's sin and the sins of our society and the sins of our nation and the sins of groups of people, one group against another people. Folks, don't ever, ever think that Satan is in charge. Don't ever think that sin is the ruling force in the history of humanity. It's there, it exists, but it does not rule. It does not control the universe. The Apostle Paul helps us to understand this in Colossians chapter 1. Again, it's not a new passage. We've looked at it before, but oh, how we need to be reminded of what Paul says here. Now look at Colossians chapter 1 and look at verses 9 through 11. Let's get just a taste of the context here. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 9, the Apostle Paul actually is praying for these believers in Colossae. And he prays that these believers, here's how he says, that they be filled with the knowledge of his will, God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Now think about that for a moment. That's the way that Paul prayed for those believers. You ever pray for other believers like that? We should. This is an example that Paul gives us. What a blessing. What a prayer. So Paul's praying that they grow spiritually. Paul's praying that they might be fruitful in their labor and they increase in the knowledge of God. Paul's praying that they be strengthened in God's power. And folks, this should be our desire for one another. And then, in verse 14, Colossians 1:14, Paul begins an amazing line of truth about Jesus Christ that is considered one of the most concentrated descriptions of the glories of Jesus found in all of the New Testament. So look at them with me. There are 15 statements that Paul makes here about Jesus Christ, and then we'll come back and we'll focus on one of those statements. Look at verse 14. Paul says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Verse 15, "He is the image of the invisible God." Verse 15, "He is the firstborn, the preeminent one, the highest in position of all creation." Verse 16, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Verse 16, "All things were created through him." Verse 16, "All things were created for him." Verse 17, "He is before all things." Verse 17, "In him all things consist or hold together." Verse 18, "He is the head of the body, the church." Verse 18, "He is the beginning." Verse 18, "He is the firstborn from the dead." Verse 18, "In all things he is preeminent." Verse 19, "In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." Verse 20, "He reconciles all things to himself, whether on earth or in heaven." Verse 20, "He made peace through the blood of his cross." Whenever I read that passage and I go through those things in my mind, even right now, I'm tempted to say, just close your Bibles, we're done. Tempted. I'm not going to fall for temptation, okay? But think about these truths. This is an amazing line of truth about Jesus. And it's worth reading over and over and over again. Folks, I even challenge you, memorize it. Put this to memory. Because if your heart grows cold, or if your vision of God's grace grows dim, or if you move toward discouragement when you look at the world and you look at the events of the world around us, then go here and spend time here and think and consider and contemplate the glories of Jesus Christ and ask God to give you eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand and to receive his greatness and his glory. Now, for our purposes today, I want you to go back to verse 16. It's familiar. Again, we've looked at it before, but it's needed. Go back to verse 16, because Paul says, and I want you to notice the prepositions that he uses. He says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So Paul teaches here that Jesus Christ created all that is. They were created through him. The Son of God, who was with God and is God, created all things. And then Paul says that all things were created, get this now, for him. All things were created for him. All that came into existence came into existence for him. And folks, that means that it exists to display the greatness of Jesus Christ. And that also means that nothing, absolutely nothing in the universe exists for its own sake. That it all exists for him. Everything from the highest mountain to the deepest ocean. Everything from the smallest atom to the greatest star. Folks, everything from the humble saint to the ruthless dictator. Everything. You can make your own list. You can go from one point to another. And the Scripture, the Word of God, tells us this morning that Jesus Christ made it all, and he made it all for him, for his purpose, and for his glory. Everything exists to make the greatness of Jesus Christ, God the Son, more fully known. And that includes you, and that includes me. And get this now, that includes everything that's taking place in your life right now. That includes everything that's taking place in our society right now. Everything. All things. Everything. That includes me. That includes you. That includes the person who hurt you yesterday. That includes the person who will lie to you today. That includes the person who will disappoint you tomorrow, or who will sin against you next week. All things come under the umbrella of this truth. Everything was made for the greatness of Jesus. Now, I think we need to land here for a moment, so let's put on the brakes of our thinking. You see, what Paul is telling us here is that everything exists for the glory and the greatness of Jesus. But now that raises a question. If you're thinking about what we're saying, if you're thinking about this scripture, then that raises a question. I hope you've asked the question. Here it is. Does this include sin? Does this include evil? Now look carefully at our passage. Because of all the things, millions and millions of things that Paul could have mentioned that Jesus Christ made and exist for his glory, Paul chose to mention these. Look at verse 16. Thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. Now think of all the things he could have used as an example that Christ made and made for his glory and for his honor. Of all the things in existence, he says, thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. Verse 16, it says, by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. They all were created by Jesus Christ. And why do they exist? Verse 16, all things were created through him and for him. Now think about this today. Paul knows that these rulers and authorities and principalities and powers include evil, wicked, supernatural powers. Go to Colossians 2, Colossians chapter 2, and look at verses 14 and 15. Colossians 2, verses 14 and 15. Paul's talking about the work of Jesus Christ in this passage, and he says this: having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And look at this: having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You see, when he talks about these principalities and powers, he has a certain group in mind, and that group in mind are these supernatural spiritual beings that are in rebellion against him and who oppose him. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, familiar passage, and look at verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Now we know that passage is the armor of God, and look what Paul says here. He says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Brothers and sisters, what that means is this: that there are evil, wicked, supernatural, spiritual powers, beings, whose aim and purpose is to destroy the human race and to disrupt the purpose of God. That is their purpose. But they have been decisively defeated at the cross, where Jesus, in Paul's words in Colossians chapter 2, where Jesus disarmed them and made his people secure in him by God's grace through faith. But these evil, wicked, spiritual beings still exist, and folks, they do much harm in the world. And if you don't think so, look around. Look around in the world today. They do much harm in the world because not everyone has faith in Jesus, and even those who have faith in Jesus can be hurt, but not destroyed spiritually, by these wicked rulers and authorities. Now that brings us then to another question. Why do they exist? Where do they come from? Go back to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16 gives us the definite, decisive answer. Not the complete answer, not every detail, but the answer that we need to know. Again, look at it. Here's what Paul says: for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Folks, that's where they came from. They were created by Christ. And why do they exist? All things were created through him and for him. Get this now, they exist for Jesus. They exist to make his glories known. Now, Paul doesn't say that Jesus created them evil. You got that? He doesn't say that he created them evil. The Bible makes it very clear that they were created good, but they rebelled against God. The Apostle Jude, in Jude verse 6, let me read it for you. He says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he is reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. And folks, Paul knows this. Paul knows what they once were and what they have become. Paul knows that Christ knew they would fall before they fail. Paul also knows that Christ knew there would be sin and rebellion and evil in this world. And Paul also knows that in infinite wisdom, that Jesus Christ planned it and purposed it and took it all into account as he established the history of salvation and the purposes of his grace. And therefore, folks, when Paul says in this passage, principalities and powers, and he says they were created by Christ and for Christ, he means that Christ created them knowing that what they would become and even how in evil and rebellion and sin they would glorify Jesus Christ. You see, their creation and their rebellion were all part of God's plan and his purpose. And so Paul tells us plainly that the most evil and most wicked and most sinful beings in the universe are a part of God's sovereign plan and are a part of Christ's sovereign rule. Now that brings us to another question. Why would Paul tell us this? Why do we need to know this? Is this helpful to us? I mean, I'll ask you now, you can answer it to yourself. Is this helpful to you? Does this encourage you? Does this strengthen you? Does this help you grow as a believer? Is this helpful to you? Well, Paul's answer is yes. Paul thinks it's helpful. You see, these evil powers are the one thing that Paul chooses to mention as an example of what was created by Christ and for Christ. And again, I say it, of all the millions of things that Paul could mention, he mentions this. In other words, he wants us to know this. And why? Why does he think this is so important and so good for us to know? Well, folks, this is about life. This is about everyday life. This is about those difficult people that you work with. This is about marriages that are in trouble. This is about hospitals and nursing homes and funeral homes. This is about riots and unrest and the destruction of homes and businesses and property. This is about racism and the sin of pride that moves through the heart of human beings. This is about the accident up on Interstate 80. This is about a virus that turns the world upside down. This is about crops that fail and markets that drop and bank accounts that are empty. This is about every kind of injustice and intolerance and hostility between one man or another man or one group of people against another group of people. This is about every form of sin and evil and wickedness that comes against us in our lives. You see, folks, great, deep, biblical truth about Jesus and about creation and about his glory and about his sovereignty and his grace and evil are all like cool water to a thirsty soul. And I would ask you this morning, are you thirsty? Do we need these truths? Do we need to drink of these truths? Yes, I would answer that and say we desperately need reminded of these truths. We Christians need to put on the eyeglasses of this truth and to look at our lives and the world around us through its lenses. And so why should we know this truth that Jesus Christ is sovereign over sin? Why should we know that? Why should we know this truth that Jesus Christ rules supremely over the evil, wicked rulers and authorities of this universe? Let me give you several reasons. The first reason is truth. This is not opinion. This is not an idea. This is not a guess. But brothers and sisters, this is clear, objective truth. We see it right before us from the Word of God. And people need truth to be saved. And people need truth to be freed from bondage and the slavery of sin. Look again at verses 13 and 14. Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. Paul says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. This morning, if you are a child of God and you are connected with God through faith in Jesus Christ, this truth is about you. This is for you. He has delivered you from the power of darkness and conveyed you into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that good news? I mean, isn't that a wonderful truth? You see, we need truth. The truth of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done is truth that will save us and sanctify us. There's a second reason. Second reason is the glory of Jesus Christ. Paul wants us to know this. He wants us to see this. There were people, believers in the city of Colossae, that were saying that the worship of angels was part of the way to God. They were confused. They had been affected by false teaching. And their view was something like this, that to get to God, who is the highest being, then I must take smaller steps, and I must worship a lesser being to get to the highest being. And therefore, they worshiped angels. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Colossians 2, 18. Paul says, Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Paul says, No, don't worship angels. These angels that some of you think are so great were created by Christ and for Christ. And so Paul says to them, don't worship them, don't exalt them, don't think that they are the way to God, but worship the one who made them. And the one who made them was Jesus. And there's another reason why Paul wants us to know this truth, and that reason is protection. See, Paul was concerned that in the pluralistic intellectual atmosphere of that Greek city of Colossae, that the Christians there, the believers there, would be captivated by what he calls empty philosophies and teachings. Look at verses 8 through 10, Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. He says, Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. There it is again. He is the head. And folks, we're no different than these Colossians because we are bombarded with all kinds of false teachings and heresies and ideologies today. And with these great truths about Jesus Christ, Paul is protecting us from these philosophies and traditions and ideologies and movements from man that do not cherish God and do not exalt Christ. And so beware. Don't be pulled into these philosophies and don't be pulled away by these false teachings. Close your ears to the things of this world and these words that come from the world and the culture around us. You see, that's what the Colossians were facing, and we face it today. And when we're grounded in the rock-solid truth of God's sovereignty and Christ's rule over all things, and yes, that includes evil, then we will not be easily swept away by man-centered trends and teachings and traditions. That's why Paul wants us to know this. There's another reason why he wants us to know, and that reason is encouragement. See, Paul wants to make it plain that when Christians who feel so small and weak and vulnerable hear about hostile thrones and dominions and principalities and powers, that these Christians will know without a doubt that Jesus Christ has all authority over them. You see, that is an encouraging truth. That is a truth that will help us and strengthen us. Folks, that means that any movement by Satan or demons or evil spirits or wicked men can only come against us by the permission of Jesus Christ, because Jesus rules over all of them. Two examples come to mind. First of all, in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, I'll read it for you. We have the example of Jesus speaking to Peter, and Jesus tells Peter that Satan would sift him like wheat. Listen to what Jesus says. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Think about it, folks. The most powerful, evil, rebellious creature in all the universe had to ask permission to sift Peter. Why? Because Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. Second example that comes to mind, of course, is Job in the Old Testament. And in Job chapter 1, God gives permission for Satan to go after Job. Listen to what the Scripture says. "And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." Folks, what that means is that God sets boundaries around his servant Job that Satan could not pass. Wow, what a truth. That God actually uses Satan in the lives of his people. It's astounding. And yet, God puts this border around Satan. He puts these boundaries, and Satan cannot pass them. There is nothing that Satan or his workers of evil can do against you without the permission of God who rules over all. And then there's a fifth reason why Paul wants us to know this. And that reason is an invincible and victorious salvation. I think that Paul tells us these things because he wants us to know and he wants us to live in a salvation that is invincible and victorious in Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus Christ died and he rose from the dead, Paul says in Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You dig a little deeper and you find out that the language that Paul uses came from the Roman world when a Roman general conquered enemies and he would enter into the city of Rome. Behind him would be those enemies chained and bound, defeated by that general. And that's the language that Paul uses here. That's what Christ has done. Our enemies and the enemies of Christ, they may attack us and they may hurt us and they may even kill us, but folks, the victory is still ours. Because that old enemy death has been changed so that it actually serves us And it's through death that we come into the presence of our God and Father, Jesus Christ. God, our Father, our Savior, Jesus Christ. I ask you this morning, have you put your trust in Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? If you have, here's what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. He says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And folks, what that means is that we are forever secure in Christ. And nothing, absolutely nothing, not even the most powerful forces and the beings of evil in this world and in this universe can separate us from God's love and God's grace, which is in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul says that all things were created by Him and for Him. Even your worst and most powerful supernatural enemies. And that means, folks, every enemy under them. And in the end, it was these enemies who were defeated and shamed at the cross, not Jesus. And in the end, everything and everyone, and that includes evil, serves to magnify the glory of Jesus Christ. And if we're to truly understand the human race, then we must understand that God is sovereign over sin. And folks, when that truth is settled, it will change the way that you and I live every day in our lives. Christ is sovereign. God is sovereign, even over sin. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father, for this truth. We need it. We need the reminders. God, I'm so thankful that truth that we learn and we study and we look at years ago, we can review it, we can look at it again. And God, I clearly admit we need to do that. Thank you for this truth of the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, created all things through Him and for Him, all things. Father, help us to live every day in that truth. May our hearts be filled with gratitude and thankfulness. God, may we look at the world around us. May we look at the challenges, the events in our own lives through this lens. And God, by it, just continue to trust You and depend upon You. This is why we have this truth. It moves us, Father, to look to You. It moves us to depend upon Jesus. Thank You for this truth. Work in hearts this morning. If there's anyone here today who's not placed their faith in Jesus Christ, God, may this be the day of their salvation. And God, those who have, Lord, I pray that we humbly submit to You as You work out Your purpose in our lives for Your glory and for the exaltation of Jesus, our Savior. It's in His name we pray this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together familiar hymn 336 in your hymnals, 336. My hope is in the Lord. Let's stand as we sing 3:36. Words are on the screen. You can use your hymnals also. 3:36. To just find out how many times we've sung this song in this church. And yet, as we sang it again, my thoughts went right to that statement. My only hope. Only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness. Our only hope for salvation and our only hope for spiritual growth is found in Him. Our hope is in Him. Is He your hope? Are you trusting in Him? Is your faith in Him? It's Jesus. He died for us. He was raised from the dead. He's our only hope. Let's sing now verses 3 and 4. God's people said, Amen. This is true. We believe it. Let's live it to the glory of God. Thank you for joining us together for worship. Thank you. Thank God for His grace that allows us to do this. To Him be glory and honor and great praise. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's close our time in prayer. Brother Fred, will you close our time, please? Thank you.